I'm going to be over Mark, the 15th chapter, the 37th verse and the 38th verse. Mark 15, 37 and 38. I want to compare. This is what you'll get the gist of it here in a little bit, but we're going to compare. We're going to compare body of works is what we're going to do. We're going to compare. Sometime in the next couple of months, college football is going to be crowning a national champion. Of course, as much as you well know, it ain't going to be West Virginia by now. I hope you realize that by now. It's not going to be them. But we will be crowning a national. Number one will play number two to decide who's national champion. And when they do this, we know this, but whenever they do this game, that game will decide that night who's now champion. But it goes back beyond all that. It started back in about June, July, when they first went on the practice field and started. There was probably 114 teams, maybe, who thought that they had a chance to play in that national championship game. But you know what? It come down to two of them, and those two will be justly there because of the body of work that they have done before they reach this game. And, you know, all these other 100-some-odd teams that thought they had a chance, their body of work does not hold up. Just doesn't. When it's all said and done, they're either going to have losses or they just don't, or just not, we're not good enough to be compared to the best whenever it's all said and done. I know you're thinking, I don't need to know about this. This is all, bear with me. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know what? They separated themselves from all the other teams. Their body of work proves they were the real deal. They were the champions. And that goes from high school, college, wherever it may be, their body of work will prove who is the champion. Now, there's a lot of religions out there today that try to say the same thing. You know what I'm saying? They try to tell you that they are the best, and they try to prove it. How many other religions they are, they try to prove that they are the best. But I want you to know this morning, I want to prove to you that there's only one champion, and that champion holds true to this day, and that champion will always hold true. And that champion is Christianity, and that champion is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There's only one. All these other religions try to say that they're the best, just like these college teams. All these other ones try to prove that they're the best. But like I said, when it gets right down to it, there's only one body of work that proves that it is. And just like they stand out from the rest. And I want you to know Christianity does stand out from the rest. It stands out. Just look at the body of work. And the thing that I'm going to read the scripture here in a minute. But the cross proved, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, it proved faith in Him is the best, number one. Did it not? It proved that. He was the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to God except through Jesus Christ. Am I right? Amen. Amen. That's just there's just no doubt about it. There's just no doubt about it. And you know, we are an advantage as Christians. We have the advantage. We have the advantage. Let us read the scripture I was talking about here this morning. Over in Mark, the 15th chapter, the 37th and the 38th verse. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You get that? Did you get that? And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And I'll get into that here in just a little bit. I'll get into that. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, as the scripture this morning. I pray, Father, Lord, again, as I always ask, Lord, get me out of the way, Lord. I pray that the scripture would go out the way that you'd have it. The message would go out to the hearts. I pray that they would be receptive this morning. I pray, Father, that we're all said and done here on this Sunday morning, Lord. I pray that we understand and we know that we serve a living God. We serve a risen Savior, Father. And then, Father, beyond all this, Lord, that, Father, you loved us enough, and you're with us to prove, the Lord, that we are what we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. The cross is where we have advantage over all other religions. Amen. The cross is look at 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know what? All the other religions can offer what they want to, but I want to tell you this morning, we have the cross. We have the power that is associated with the cross through Jesus Christ dying on that cross. Praise God, not just that old wooden thing that was hanging there, but praise God, it's through Jesus Christ with His hands stretched out upon it and the blood being shed upon it. Praise God, we have the advantage. Amen. Amen. Romans 3:20 tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody in here, I'm sorry to tell you, whether you think you're a fine fellow or a fine woman or not, I wanted to tell you this morning, my Bible says that you are a sinner at one time in your life if you haven't accepted Jesus. You are lost and headed to a devil's hell if you do not accept Him. From the moment you are born up until the time that you have the accountability, I want you to know you have a choice to make when you come to the age of accountability. And if you do not make the right choice, you are headed for a devil's hell. Amen. Or oh my. But that's what my Bible tells me. That's what it tells me. Listen, we have the advantage because in our religion, Jesus Christ died upon that cross. That cross gives us the power of salvation. And praise God, we have the advantage. We have that. What? I'll tell you, all have sinned. That is known as a universal truth. And I want to tell you, any religion that you go to, I don't care whether it be Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever it may be, there's a universal truth that they'll tell you every one of them is not right. They'll say that, but they'll give you different ways that you have to get better. That's what they tell you. That's what they'll tell you. All other religions try to deal with the truth. What you'll hear is, and I got to reading this, have you ever heard the word karma? Do you know what karma means? You know what it means? I've even said it sometimes. Oh, that's just bad karma. Do you know how all these other religions try to balance this out? And then I want you to think about this as a scale. And this is how they do it. They tell you that you've got all this bad on this scale over here. And what they want you to do is do good, and that good will balance that scale out. And they say you've got to keep on doing good to balance that scale. But what they don't tell you is that all the bad that you've done is still on that scale. All the good that you do is on this scale over here. And you know what? This over here never goes away. It's there. That is always there. And you know what happens? And I've seen it happen in people's life. A lot of people believe this. They think that they can outwork. Oh, and that's what it's all about. It's about works. I got to looking at this. And I thought, well, if I'm going to preach on this, I want to know just exactly how these other religions believe. And this is how they believe. I don't care if you deal with Islam. I don't care if you deal with Buddhism. I don't care if you deal with Hinduism. I don't care if you deal with Scientology. I want you to know that all of them believe that if you do enough good, it balances out the weight of the bad that's over here. That's what they believe. You look it up. It's called Religious Facts. And you look it up and see. It's not a Christian-based website. You go and look what they tell you. But what they don't tell you, like I said, all right, they're telling you do more good and it's bound. But what they don't tell you is that that's still there, and you got to keep doing good. And you know what happens? Some of them can't handle the pressure of it. Have you ever seen people who try to do so much good and they're so worried about doing good that that's all that they care about is how much good they do? I'll tell you, the advantage Christianity has is, praise God, I don't care if that scale on the bad side is weighed down all over the place. Wherever Jesus Christ is applied to your life on the other side, all that bad's gone, that scale goes this way, and praise God, you're fit for the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to worry about the good deeds you do. You're going to want to work for, praise God, when Jesus Christ gets on there, you are fit for heaven. Praise God, I'll tell you what. Can you just imagine if they wanted to use the scale as an example? All this weight over here, piled as high as you could pay it, a bad that you've done in your life. And here comes the blood of Jesus Christ that be put on the other side of that scale. And wham, it's all gone. And I'll tell you another thing that happens to brothers there. You know what? You know, as you go along with this life, sometimes we stumble and we fall. And maybe a little bad gets on that other scale on that side over there. Praise God, you go back to Jesus and it's gone again. Amen. You don't have to worry about it all. Have to worry about the good I got to do. Oh, I got to keep doing good. I got to keep doing this. I got to keep this thing balanced out. I want you to know, all that karma, all them good deeds, all them bad deeds they were put out there. I want you to know something. Praise God. We've got Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, brothers, that bam, we've hit a home run, have we not? The score is about 3,000 to nothing right now. They're on our side because we serve a risen Jesus Christ. Amen. You can see, you know, all the good that you can muster up. I want you to know this. I don't care how much good you... I don't care if you volunteer down at the old food shelter. I don't care what you do. They got this good stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to know something. All that good does not balance what sins in your life. It cannot do it. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ to do it. That's what I'm saying. So what's going to happen? The scale's going to break down. It's going to break down on these people because they can't handle it. So you listen to what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise God. I tell you what, I don't have anything to boast about. I don't know about you this morning. I was just an old, I was a sinner at one time, and now I'm saved by grace is what I am. And I want you to know something for you. I couldn't have bought my way into heaven. Is anybody in here, is anybody in this world got enough money to buy themselves into heaven? No. They couldn't. I'll tell you what, even if you could, you couldn't afford it. Not with what it all. I want you to know there never could be enough money to buy yourself. You can never do enough good works. I don't care how many people you feed. I don't care how many people you visit. I don't care what you do. You cannot buy your way into heaven. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It takes that. We get 1 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Praise God, Ron. God knew that it was going to take a Savior like Jesus Christ one day. God knew that it was going to take the perfect sacrifice one day for me and you to make it. I'll tell you what, I believe this. I believe God, back in the eons of time, back here, I believe He looked down through the eons of time and He saw Dave Long. I'm telling you, He saw me. And He knew that I was going to need Jesus Christ one day. He knew it. He looked down through the ages of time and He seen Oakley. He said, I know that man right there is going to need Jesus Christ one day. He looked at and He said it through every one of us that He was there. And He sent His Son. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, there's no more perfect sacrifice than that, is there not? I'll tell you this, those scales tip away in our favor, do they not? Brother, they tip away. Let's just look at the body of work so far. I want to tell you what, it's probably about a million to nothing right now, is that right? That's just about where it's at. And I'll tell you what, they haven't even got a leg to stand on. I ain't even started yet. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or whatever, if they had done enough good deeds to outweigh the bad, they might tell you. If you ask them, you ever see a Hindu or a Buddhist, or and they ask them, say, have you ever done enough yet to where you feel comfortable about your bad deeds and your good deeds? You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you this, I don't know. I'm not sure. Praise God, I know the day that my Redeemer liveth. I know for sure that my sins are under the blood. I can tell you without a doubt that Jesus Christ saved me and that I know exactly this morning where I stand with Him. I don't have to doubt it. They say, well, you know why? Because there's that wall, that petition that's between them, their sinless lives, and the Holy God. There's our petition. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, just Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and to help in time of need. I want you to know right there's a slam dunk right there, brothers and sisters. There's no way that they can even hold up to that because our high priest, the one that we serve, we can go boldly to God. We can go through Him and praise God this morning. We don't have to worry about going through anybody else. Don't worry about those deeds. Don't worry about how much the scales tipped in whatever favor. Don't worry about that. We're just, you know, praise God. They have a curtain of separation between them and their and God, because they're working this, trying to work this deal out, and trying to make it to where they're good enough to get to God. You know what? Now let's look at this here for a minute. Let's just look at this verse of scripture I was reading. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom. Now let's talk about the temple a little bit. The temple consisted of two rooms. The first room was called the holy place. And in the holy place there was a table, a lampstick, it had some bread on it, and you know, all the priests could go to that holy place. But then in the second room, in the back of the temple, was the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where God presided. That's where God was at. And then the only one that could go back here was the holiest of the priests, the chief priest. He could go back here. And he went back here once a year, and he took the blood sacrifice back here and put it on the mercy seat, and that blood was to cover the sins of those people for a year. Well, in between that was this huge curtain, 66 foot tall, 33 foot wide, 4 inches thick, weighed 4 to 6 tons. That's what that thing weighed. Took 300 priests, 300 to carry it. That's what it took to carry that veil. And praise God, whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, my Bible tells me that that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. No man had any hand in it. Praise God, God did it. And you know what happened? Whenever He did it, we could go boldly to the throne of grace. These other people out here, let them keep trying to do all the good they want to do. But you know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He died on the cross for them. And you know what? Our sinless lives, our sinful lives that we have in our bodies, praise God, through Jesus Christ, is taken care of. And you know what? We don't have to worry about that nonsense no more. And they can have the same thing. I'll tell you what, praise God, I'll tell you I'm glad that old curtain was ripped from the, and you notice God made it a point to say it was ripped from the top to the bottom. You notice that? And you know that, you know the story about that. I'll tell you, that thing was ripped from the top to the bottom, so no man could say that it happened, that somebody else did it. God did that. God did that when His Son died upon that cross. That the blood was to cover the sins of all the people. But I'll tell you what, praise God, His blood covers us once and for all. It's perfect. We don't have to worry about all those sacrifices every day. You know what it demonstrated? The huge gulf that was between man and God. That's what that curtain represented. That's what it represented. That's exactly what that thing represented. And that gulf was there, and the only way that it could be crossed is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way it could have been crossed. And I'll tell you what, whenever he died, the barrier was taken down. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Praise God. I am so thankful for a living God. Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall partition between us. That's who did it, buddy. Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible, the New Testament's full of it. I want you to know, right there's another touchdown for us. Right there it is. It's probably about $3 trillion to nothing right now. And you know what? They're still trying to make a case. Like I told you, the body of work proves that the Jesus Christ, the Christianity, the one we serve, is the way, the only way. Don't let them try to do it. Jesus has done it for us. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, we both, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, what it's talking about, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We've got her. Praise God, we just scored again. All right, it looks like Kansas State against West Virginia a couple weeks ago, doesn't it? It's not very good, is it not? And they were done. Many movies and plays. We're not done yet, folks. Many movies and many pictures and many plays, they want to portray Jesus when He's on the cross. That's what they want to go to. Jesus on the cross. But brother said it goes beyond that. It goes way beyond that. There's something about a resurrected Jesus that makes a lot of people very uncomfortable. Am I right? It makes them very uncomfortable. Oh, people want to talk about God. Oh, God. God's good. God's this. I'll tell you what, you bring Jesus into the equation, not very many people want to talk about that. They don't really want to hear that. If I told you that it stopped at the cross, that'd be very nice theology, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty nice. It'd be all right. Yeah, he's a martyr. He died on the cross. And if I told you that'd be pretty good, right? That'd be great. You know what? Just because you die a martyr doesn't mean what you stand for is right. Amen? That doesn't mean that. So it has to go beyond all that. So that's Jesus. Why we preach it, why we teach it, Jesus' death, his burial, and praise God, his resurrection. Amen. I'll tell you what. Listen to Muhammad, founder of Islam. He's dead. He's gone. Buddha died 2,500 years ago. I looked all this stuff up. Hinduism was founded by many enlightened saints, they said, all of which are dead now. You know Scientology? L. Ron Hubbard? He died back in 1986. They're all gone. They're gone, but you know what? My Jesus Christ lives. Amen. That right there, I'll tell you right there's another home run, folks. The God we serve, his son that died, I'll tell you what, he lives. And praise God, Mark 16:6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. I guarantee you, they might want to do it. They can go over there and they can search all they want to. They can dig up all the Holy Land if they want to. And I guarantee you, they're not going to find Jesus. They're not going to find him. They may say they do. They may dig up bones and try to pin it to him. I want you to know, my Bible tells me he's not there. My Bible tells me he's not there. This is why our salvation centers on the teaching of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that we which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with him. I want you to know, Jesus said unto him, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want to tell you something. One of these days, the saints of God are going to raise up out of the tomb, and praise God, we are going to be with him forever. Amen. Most of these other religions, they want to talk about reincarnation. You know that? Reincarnation, all it is if you live, if your good deeds are out there and they're real, real good, and they outweigh your bad deeds, or even if they don't, your soul's going to go into another body one of these days and come right back to this earth. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not coming back to this sin-sick world. I'm glad I am not coming back to where death and disease and all the other things that affect this body are here. I want you to know, praise God this morning, my Bible tells me that we're going to be with him one of these days, and pray that we're going to be with him forever one of these days. We're going to get rid of all this nonsense, aren't we? We're going to get rid of all of it. And I tell you what, if they want to think they want to come back to this world, let them think all they want to. Praise God. I tell you what, we just scored again. And praise the Lord, the body of work is not, it's very convincing, I think. In my mind it is. All the reasons may be based on teaching of the dead founder, brothers and sisters, our Savior lives. And one of these days, so then, Mark 16:19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. I want you to know, all intercessory has got God's ear. You understand what I'm saying? He is sitting on the right hand of God. Whenever we stand before him one of these days, I believe Jesus Christ is going to say, well, there's Kathy. And he said, Jesus is going to say, there's Kathy. And God, you know what? My blood was applied to her life, and God's going to look at that, and he's going to say, praise the Lord, you know what? You're right. Come on in, Kathy. Because his blood's been applied. His blood is because he sat at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. You better believe it. Yes, he does. I don't know about you, but I would come back to this world of pain. I would come back to this world of pain, sorrow, and death. I don't want to come back to this mess. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, I love this. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God, I tell you what, I've got someplace better than Medina Road to go. And I like Medina Road, don't get me wrong. I got someplace better than Medina Road to go. Amen. And I'll tell you, let's go to old Revelation. And this is what I like about Revelation 20. Oh, this, listen to what God, you know, heaven's great, but listen to what's going to happen to us one of these days. Listen to what, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, man, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more pain, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, heaven's great. I'm going to tell you something one of these days. After this earth is melted and God makes a new heaven and a new earth, guess where we're going to be for a Christian? Guess where we're going to be? Guess where those people who try to wait and balance out all this good deeds and all this stuff, if they do not accept Jesus, guess where I'll tell you, there's a lake of fire where they're going to burn for eternity one of these days. And that's not, I'm not wishing that upon no one. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? This is what God has prepared for our people. I'll tell you what, we win again, don't we? We win again. There's nothing else that can compare to our God and to our Jesus. Nothing. The body of work proves it. I mean, I could go in deeper and deeper into this if I had the time, and we could go farther and farther. And I'll tell you what, all the stuff that I read about their religions and what they believe, and every one of them is based on whether or not you do good enough deeds while you're down here on this life. Ours isn't based on that. Ours is based on accepting Jesus Christ. There's many religions out there trying to tell us this is the way. But the only one champion in the end, is there not? There's only one champion. And praise God, if you're a Christian, raise your hand here this morning. You're on the winning team, folks. You're undefeated. Scores 6 trillion to nothing right now. And it ain't going to get no better. It's not going to get no better. I wanted to know something. Am I bragging? You better believe I am. You better believe I am. I can brag on Jesus Christ. He don't brag on me. I'm going to brag on the ones that I know is true. I want to brag on him. I want you to know something this morning. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, hey, come up here. Come up here. Let's get in. Let's get in on this. Get in on the winning team. I don't think there's a person in here that doesn't want to be a winner. Am I right? Well, there's not a one of us that doesn't want to be a winner. Praise God.